It's probably just a little bit over 2 months since I recorded my last podcast. And if I'm really honest, I've probably spent more time listening to podcasts in the last couple of months than making time to record them. I've been following very closely the work of David McWilliams and his podcast, where he's covered quite a range of things from the new president in Argentina, the financial implications of the conflict in Palestine and the Middle East. And then Joe Brawley and Dion Fanning's podcast, The Free State, which has been absolutely brilliant to listen to, specifically on issues in the Middle East. And I know he's got a podcast out at the minute about the riots that went on in Dublin last Thursday. I find myself in Dublin on Saturday night with my partner, and we were meeting a couple of cousins, and there was a genuine ill ease about being down in the city, wondering, is it going to be okay? And of course, rats are, we're no stranger to rats up here, but the way the media had covered the Thursday night events, you could see that it was kind of a fairly serious thing. I haven't watched any of the footage, but I do know that it was a real deterrent on the Friday and Saturday for people to come into the city to go shopping. And this is probably the business end of the retail season for the shops in Dublin. Regardless of the ethnicity of the owners, and Dublin has a brilliant reputation around Christmas, not just on Grafton Street, but the entire city benefits from the influx of tourists and shoppers, something that may take a little while to warm up properly for the business community in the city. We were fortunate enough to stay at the Murrayan Hotel, and I mean fortunate enough because it's not something I've done often. I've been there once before, and it was an absolute masterclass in customer service. From the second you drop off your car to the second you pick up your car, and everything in between is just absolutely perfect. And expensive. But what it made me think about was, where does the customer service ethics start? How do they train? How do they recruit, train, retain people that can operate at such exacting standards all of the time? I'm not going to go through the details of what we did when we were there. We stayed in what I would consider one of the more affordable rooms, because the rooms that are in the main building of the hotel would be just simply out of reach. And it was an absolute pleasure to have stayed there, regardless of which room you end up in. You can go and Google it and see what price it is, because I don't stay there every weekend. They don't stay there once a month. I don't really stay there once a year. I just happened to have been there twice this year, once whenever the Springsteen concert was on, and then at the weekend with cousins and Geraldine. And it was deadly. And one of the things that it reminded me of was their ability to predict customer behavior, which in turn influences their customer service. So once you arrive and they get a sense of who you are, they'll take you through the kind of onboarding process or checking in process. And all you see is just so many people standing around, but not standing around doing nothing, standing around waiting to take action. So they all have roles and parts to play, but they all spring to attention when there's a customer anywhere near the place. Similarly, when you go to the bar staff are working really, really hard to service the number of people in the drawing room and in the foyer. But once you're sat down, the attention that you get is ridiculous. If you're going to a 5-star hotel, you have an expectation of how you're going to be treated. You have an expectation of how things are going to be, and perhaps that'd be a bit of a snob, and you might elevate those expectations because you're paying for it and you will want the very best out of it. The staff see beyond that. The staff just seem to have a really, really good understanding of how things need to be to keep the customer experience at 5-star minimum. And I do think that it's entirely based on predicting behavior of customers. The Wayne Gretzky moment where he talked about hitting the puck to where the player was going, not to where the player is. And they just absolutely excel at it. Every single part of what they do, every single part. To the point when we were leaving, we wanted to leave the car parked somewhere, and we explained that we were going to go to the Chester Beatty Museum to take a duke at some stuff and then maybe do a bit of shopping, and then we had lunch. And the guy said, look, we'll park your car around the side there. We're not going to put any of your luggage in because the car is parked on the side street, but it should be okay. And when we arrived back at about 4:30, 4:45, the car was sat outside the hotel with everything packed inside, and all we had to do was send an umbrella back in, and off we went. And it was just absolutely brilliant. It really was a joy to stay there, and I'd love to be able to afford to go there once a year. I wouldn't want to go more than once a year because you'd probably get sick of it, you know. Not that you would, but it's just it's an amazing experience. And so you've got that one side of Dublin where you have people just working, carrying on regardless. And then you have the other side of Dublin where we have had some of the worst riots, I think, Ireland might have seen, and probably the greatest deployment of riot police on the island ever, bar the north. So some things are afoot there that need to be fixed. Whether you can blame it on migrant workers is a bit of a stretch, considering that one of the guys who helped fend off the attacker was Brazilian. There was a crowdfunding for him, and he apparently is sitting on 300 grand's worth of gratitude for Irish people wanted to buy him pints, you know. Not too far from the hotel, you walk past the statue of Phil Lynott, and you kind of get a sense that maybe Phil Lynott mightn't have been even welcomed in his own hometown based on certain colour coding and restrictions that might be imposed by certain members of the community. But I don't think that the problem is really about race. I think it's a problem about being ignored and being fully disadvantaged, courtesy of successive Irish governments who have done more to feather their own nest than to look at the disadvantaged areas of the inner city Dublin, which then becomes a case study in politics and economics. And that's not really what I want this podcast to be about. So I'm going to let that be for the domain of the Free State podcasts and the David McWilliams podcasts. But a really nice touch at the weekend from the Merion Hotel to make you realise that there are a lot of good things going on in Ireland at the minute, albeit at that level. But most of the staff that were serving us were non-Irish nationals. There were Eastern Europeans, there were French, there were Italians, there were Spanish, a whole lot of people working in the hotel. And I just wondered how they recruit, and if you wanted to work in Ireland for a year as part of your gap year or to supplement your studies at Trinity or one of the universities, how would you find your way to passing the entrance exam to the Merion? And is it because it's the creme de la creme that attracts the creme de la creme, and behaviourally everything's on point? Or are these behaviours of staff at the Merion in any way possible to replicate in other organisations, in 4-star hotels or in 3-star hotels? I had an experience a couple of weeks ago where I was travelling up to work, and I stopped off at the Apple Green just on the M2, just before the couple of junctions back from Antrim. And I normally get a coffee and a bacon sandwich, and I went over to get the bacon sandwich, and before I could say bacon roll, the lady said, we have no rolls. At 7:25, the default response was, we just don't have any. And you kind of go, and okay, you can have the joke about you had one job, but who had the one job? And serving bacon rolls at 7:25 to all and sundry on the M2 is somewhat different to parking your car or retrieving your car or carrying your bags into a 5-star hotel down in Dublin. So I know there's a bit of relativity involved, but it's kind of become acceptable now that people aren't trained to a certain level, that people don't get trained to a standard, that everybody has kind of bought into the idea that it's really hard to recruit. But there was no shortage of people at the Merion, absolutely no shortage of people. You know, when you walk up to the reception area, there are at least 7 or 8 people behind the counter waiting just in case somebody else would come at the same time as you so that they wouldn't have to wait. That there was a constant attention to serving, to making the experience 5-star all the way through. Now, Apple Green don't really care about that. But maybe they should, you know, maybe they should put more attention to how they train staff. You think about all the bars you go to or the restaurants you go to now in the north where we don't have access or it's much more difficult and challenging to recruit staff from Europe and therefore our numbers are down. And when you find yourself tolerating an experience or you just say, well, sure, that's just the way it is, and you get your pint and you don't leave a tip and you begrudgingly go back to your table and you wait for the cold soup to come and all that and you kind of say, well, that's just the way it is here. But it's clearly not just the way it is. It's the way it is in some places, but it can be different. And so it goes back to the question of the what comes first. You know, you recruit good people and train them to become better, or you recruit people and train them to become exceptional, or you look after them, or you create a culture of... You create a 5-star brand internally before you sell the 5-star brand externally. Because there's one thing that makes the Merion experience 5-star, and that is the people. Food's incredible, don't get me wrong. The sleeping accommodation is unreal. See, on a Sunday afternoon, all you want to do is go back to the big quadruple queen size bed and just lie down for about 4 days to shake off the excesses of the night before. But the stuff they serve in the bar, the Guinness and the whiskey, the Jameson, the ginger and the Prosecco and the gin and tonics, it's all the same as you get anywhere else. But it's not priced the same. And the environment that you sit in, the kind of the colours on the walls, the chairs that you're sitting on, the tables, the appointment of everything, the artwork and everything, is not the same as anywhere else. But ultimately what you're getting is you're getting a whiskey and ginger and a pint of Guinness and you're getting a club sandwich and it's served at the highest level. And there are a few other restaurants that are able to do the same thing. There are a few other businesses that tend to do the same thing and they do it really well. And so that's a really base differentiator because you can get a bacon roll anywhere else. And in most places that are serving bacon rolls, they typically have the rolls all sorted. And if you've gone into a hotel to get a whiskey and ginger, most people have the whiskey and ginger. It's how it is served to you that makes the difference. And it just reminded me again to get stuck into a podcast to reflect on how important the highest possible levels of customer service are and how much you pay your staff then and how much you train them and how much you expect of them and the support you give them. And the culture that you create and the environment that you provide for them to work in and the psychological safety of that environment and the physiological safety of that environment just to serve pints of Guinness. It's not for everybody, you know. You can go and get your pint of Guinness in a bar around the corner for 5 or 6 euros and that's dead on too. But if you're trying to create an experience that's repeatable where customers will go away and talk about you and they'll come back as often as they can and they're prepared to spend extra just because it's worth spending extra, then as a business, you have to invest in that. And you have to find a way of making it an attractive proposition for the employee as much as for the customer. There was a guy I had mentioned in the podcast before who was part of the Multiverse organization with Tony Blair's son, Ewan, or Leo, I can't remember which one it is, maybe say it's Ewan for the crack. And he talked about the 3 R's, recruitment, retention, and revenue. And he said that the revenue is one area, that's all the money, so one area is revenue. And if you get the recruitment and the retention right, the revenue takes care of itself. So like the 3 R's being that simple a business model for success. You know, if you're prepared to take profit out at every single opportunity in the business, you're not going to be able to invest in training staff or recruiting the right kind of people or giving them really nice clothes to wear or giving them a nice environment where they can chill out or giving them special discounts within that organization. So it's easy for me to pontificate about it, and where I'm working at the minute, it's all very, very relevant because the importance of the internal brand is significant when you're trying to recruit people at a moment when employment figures are so low, or unemployment figures are so low. And at the same time, you're trying to satisfy the needs of customers and deliver that expectation. Nobody said it was easy, but go down to the Murray on some Sunday afternoon or Saturday afternoon between now and the end of the year and take a rattle down Grafton Street and the back of Camden and up around Portobello and take a juke round Dublin and see how multicultural it is and how great it is to be that multicultural, and enjoy a pint and a sandwich in the Merrion and get a sense for what I'm talking about, because if you haven't been there, you'll really enjoy it because it is truly deadly and you get a really good insight into what customer service could be like. To end the podcast, I'm just sick to death of packing stuff into boxes. I have to move house from one part of Strangford to the other, which is no bad thing. I was out last night on the full moon walking on the beach and it was deadly, and I'm up this morning and I'm out on the beach before I start packing, and that's class. But packing is not easy. Moving house is not easy. And first world problems when you consider the displacement of people in Palestine right now, where 4 people out of 5 have to shift from the north of the region to the south of the region, and they're getting bombs thrown at them every single second of the day. And I'm sure all of them would love to be moving house the way I'm moving. So it was good to be grateful for what you have in light of what's going on in other parts of the world. Thanks for listening.